Hanuman was just surrounded by these. Huh? Yeah, well, we wanted to leave it at an exciting place because that's what they always do in these serials, to leave everybody eager to get back and see the next installment. As Hanuman roared menacingly, the Rakshasas were struck with fear. Regardless, they began attacking him from all sides. Hanuman grabbed an iron bar lying at the gate, and while flying through the air, he slaughtered the whole Rakshasa army. The survivors hurried back to Ravana to inform him of the massacre. Upon hearing the news, Ravana's eyes rolled with rage. He then ordered the extremely powerful son of Prahasta named Jambumali to go and fight Hanuman. Meanwhile, Hanuman began to destroy the immense temple of the Rakshasa's guardian deity located in the Ashoka Grove. As he climbed up the edifice, which was as big as a large hill, Hanuman tore it to pieces with his claws, making crashing sounds that reverberated throughout Lanka. Hanuman then shouted, "May there be victory for Rama and Lakshmana. My name is Hanuman, and I will now destroy Lanka within the sight of the Rakshasas." Although the sound of Hanuman's voice struck terror into their hearts, the 100 guards of the sanctuary took up their weapons and surrounded him. The enraged Hanuman then broke off one of the temple columns, and assuming a terrible aspect, he whirled the column around so that fire was generated as it struck the other pillars. Thus, as Hanuman destroyed the guards with the blazing pillar, the entire edifice became engulfed in flames. Again and again, Hanuman shouted, "Let there be victory for Rama, Lakshmana, and the monkeys." Jambumali then arrived on the scene, riding upon a chariot drawn by donkeys, while the twanging of his bow filled the entire sky with its awesome vibration. Without wasting time, Jambumali struck Hanuman in the mouth with one arrow and his arms with 10 more. As blood covered his entire face, the infuriated Hanuman grabbed a huge rock and hurled it at Jambumali with great force. Jambumali, however, broke it to pieces with 10 arrows. Hanuman then uprooted a large tree and began to whirl it around. Jambumali easily broke the tree into pieces with 4 arrows, even before it left Hanuman's hands. The Rakshasa then pierced Hanuman's arms with 5 arrows and his chest with 10 more shafts and a dart. Hanuman remained undaunted. The great monkey warrior then picked up an iron bar and twirled it forcefully, smashing it against Jambumali's chest. The iron bar hit the Rakshasa so violently that his head, legs, chariot, and donkeys could no longer be distinguished from one another. Hearing of Jambumali's death, Ravana became further enraged and commanded the 7 sons of his chief minister to attack Hanuman with a large army. Thereafter, when the Rakshasas approached the Ashoka Grove upon their chariots, they saw Hanuman stationed at the garden's arched gate. The Rakshasas immediately began showering their arrows so heavily that Hanuman was momentarily obscured from view. Hanuman, however, leaped into the sky, thus avoiding their onslaught. Then he charged, roaring loudly. Within moments, Hanuman struck down innumerable Rakshasas with his hands and feet, while he tore others to pieces with his nails. Others were crushed by the impact of Hanuman's chest and thighs, while still others simply fell to the ground, stunned with fear from Hanuman's roar. When all 7 of the chief minister's sons were slain, the remaining warriors panicked and fled. Hanuman returned to the archway, awaiting further combat. Ravana then sent 5 of his leading generals along with a large army, saying, "I want you to capture this Hanuman, for he could not be a mere monkey. He must be a super powerful being." Thereafter, the Rakshasa army assailed Hanuman from all sides. The general named Durdhara released 5 arrows that pierced Hanuman in the forehead. This merely infuriated Hanuman, who swelled immensely in size. Then, leaping into the sky, he fell upon Durdhara's chariot like lightning striking a mountain. From the impact of Hanuman's gigantic body, the chariot was smashed to pieces, and Durdhara and the horses were crushed to death. Enraged at the destruction of their comrade, 2 other generals named Virupaksha and Upaksha suddenly sprang into the air and struck Hanuman's chest with their clubs. Undaunted, Hanuman swooped down to the ground, uprooted a tall tree, and struck the 2 generals dead. The 2 remaining generals, Prakasa and Basakarna then came before Hanuman and pierced him with a spear and dart, causing his body to become covered with blood. The enraged Hanuman then quickly tore off a mountain peak with all its animals and trees and pounded the two Rakshasas into mere pulp. With the five generals out of the way, Hanuman effortlessly destroyed the rest of the army. Hanuman killed the horses by wielding other dead horses and crushing elephants with other elephants. He struck the dead soldiers with other slain warriors and smashed chariots by wielding other broken chariots. After covering the ground with many mutilated dead bodies, Hanuman once more stationed himself at the archway. Upon hearing of this massacre, Ravana simply glanced at his son, Aksha, who was seated close by. Desirous of battle, the prince, understanding his father's indication, eagerly leapt from his seat in the assembly. He then mounted his mystical chariot, which could travel through the air and was drawn by eight horses. As he approached the Ashoka Grove, Aksha began showering all his arrows on Hanuman. As he came to close quarters, a fierce duel ensued, which made the earth begin to quake, the sun become dim, and the wind cease to blow. When Aksha managed to pierce Hanuman's head with three arrows, Hanuman began to expand his body, while the Rakshasa warrior continued to shower arrows on him. The young Aksha was childishly proud of his strength and came fearlessly before Hanuman like an elephant approaching a well covered by grass. After being struck by Aksha's arrows, Hanuman assumed an awesome feature and sprang into the air. Aksha closely followed him while constantly releasing his arrows. However, Hanuman successfully dodged them while coursing through the sky. When an arrow suddenly pierced his chest, Hanuman mentally praised the skill of his enemy, thinking, "Although a young boy, this Rakshasa is fighting very heroically, and I really do not wish to kill him." However, as the battle progresses, his prowess only increases. If I do not kill him, I may become defeated. Therefore, it behooves me to kill him immediately, just as a spreading fire should be extinguished at once. Increasing his speed, Hanuman killed all of Aksha's horses with a slap of his hand, causing the disabled chariot to fall to the ground, smashed to pieces. Aksha took up his bow and sword, jumped from the ruined chariot, and ascended into the sky like a rishi on his way to heaven. Agile Hanuman, however, caught Aksha by the legs. Then, spinning him around thousands of times, he dashed the son of Ravana violently to the ground. With all his limbs broken and his chest crushed, Aksha gave up his life while vomiting blood. Having witnessed Hanuman's victory, the rishi stationed in the sky gazed upon him with wonder, while Ravana's heart filled with terror, as Hanuman again stationed himself at the archway awaiting the next onslaught of Rakshasas. The infuriated Ravana checked his anger and summoned Indrajit, his eldest son. Ravana said to him, "In warfare you are unparalleled and equal only to me. You have conquered the king of heaven along with all the demigods and have received weapons from Lord Brahma himself. Now go and do whatever is necessary to subdue this mysterious enemy." Hanuman felt great joy when he heard the twang of Indrajit's bow, as the Rakshasa came before him riding his chariot. As Indrajit showered his arrows, Hanuman roared loudly and expanded himself, then rose up into the sky to avoid the onslaught. In the fighting that ensued, Indrajit could not find any opportunity to pierce Hanuman with his arrows, nor could Hanuman strike Indrajit. Upon seeing the futility of his weapons, Indrajit considered Hanuman incapable of being killed. He began to think of how to capture him instead. Then Indrajit employed a special Brahmastra that immediately bound up Hanuman, making him fall to the ground, practically bereft of consciousness. Hanuman could understand that he was being bound up by the power of Lord Brahma in the form of a weapon. At the same time, he could remember receiving a benediction from Lord Brahma that such a weapon would lose its effectiveness after a short while. Therefore, Hanuman thought, "I cannot free myself just now, but still I have nothing to fear. Rather than considering this a setback, I should take it as a good opportunity to see Ravana firsthand. Even though I have been taken captive, I am certain that from the benediction of Lord Brahma, I will soon free myself." Some of the Rakshasa warriors then came and tied Hanuman with strong ropes. As they bound him, they abused him with harsh words. However, as soon as Hanuman was tied up by their ropes, the effects of the Brahmastra became nullified because that weapon's power could not be used in conjunction with another means of bondage, in this case the soldiers' attempts to tie Hanuman with ropes. However, Hanuman allowed himself to be tied up by the Rakshasas, pretending to feel pain, so he could get a chance to meet Ravana. Indrajit could understand that Hanuman was feigning bondage, being freed from the effects of the Brahmastra. He thought, the capture of Hanuman has been rendered useless by these thoughtless Rakshasas. Moreover, now that the Brahmastra has been nullified, it cannot be evoked again against the same adversary. While Indrajit pondered over this predicament, the Rakshasas dragged Hanuman into the presence of Ravana, while excitedly saying amongst themselves, "Who is this monkey-like creature? We should kill him at once. Eat him up. Let's roast him." Hanuman was face to face with Ravana. Ravana ordered his ministers to interrogate Hanuman. In reply to their questions, Hanuman said, "I am a messenger from Sugriva, the king of the monkeys, who sends you his best wishes. The noble-minded Sugriva hopes that you are conducting yourself according to the principles of religion and that your kingdom is therefore prospering." Inwardly, Hanuman was enraged at being captured, and at the thought of how Ravana had kidnapped Sita further, inflamed his anger. However, as he gazed upon the king of the Rakshasas seated upon his crystal throne, Hanuman thought, with Ravana's charm, presence of mind, courage, splendor, and auspicious bodily symptoms, he would have surpassed even Indra in glory had he not become adverse to righteousness. Likewise, Ravana was enraged, yet felt apprehensive while looking at Hanuman. Ravana wondered, "Is this Nandi the bull carrier of Lord Shiva who previously cursed me when I mocked him? Or is this Bana, the king of the Asuras, disguised as a monkey?" Prahasta, the foremost of Ravana's ministers, then assured Hanuman, "If you simply tell us the real reason why you have come here, we will let you go free." Hanuman replied, "As a curious monkey, I have simply come here with the desire of meeting Ravana. I knew that an insignificant person like me would have a difficult time gaining the king's audience. Therefore, I destroyed the pleasure garden with the hope that I will be captured and brought to the royal assembly. I didn't intend to harm anyone, but when the Rakshasa warriors attacked me, I was forced to kill them in self-defense. Long ago, I received a benediction from Lord Brahma that I could not be bound by any weapon or ropes. Thus, you should know that I have purposefully allowed myself to be captured. The power of Indrajit's Brahmastra has already been nullified. Now, please listen as I disclose the real reason for my coming here. My name is Hanuman, and I have been sent as an envoy of Lord Rama, the son of Maharaj Dasharath. For a long time, I have been searching for Rama's abducted wife, Sita, and it was my good fortune to find her here. O king of the Rakshasas, please know for certain that no one is immune to the arrows of Rama and Lakshmana. Not even the self-born Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Indra dare to face Rama on the battlefield. O Ravana, you are the knower of religious principles. One who is actually wise would never court disaster by giving up the path of virtue. Please take my advice and give Sita back to Rama before it is too late. Previously, you gained immunity from death at the hands of the demigods and demons by virtue of your severe austerities. Likewise, you should now realize that your unrighteous act of abducting Sita will bring about disaster for you. Even if I could annihilate all of Lanka, what to speak of Rama, who can dissolve and recreate the entire cosmic manifestation? Hanuman's speech simply made Ravana more furious. At once, as his reddish eyes rolled in anger, he screamed, "Kill this monkey at once!" However, in a gentle voice, Vibhishana advised, "My dear elder brother, it is not proper to put messengers to death. You are certainly a great scholar. However, all your knowledge will be void if you become swayed by uncontrolled anger." Ravana, however, did not appreciate this unwanted advice. He angrily replied, "There is no sin incurred for killing an evildoer. Let Hanuman die." Vibhishana then argued, "In the scriptures there is no injunction that a messenger can be killed. Indeed, it is unheard of. The only punishments that can be administered are mutilation of the limbs, flogging, shaving of the head, and branding. My dear Ravana, great heroes like yourself never fall prey to the influence of uncontrolled anger. I suggest that you try to kill the enemy who sent Hanuman and not Hanuman himself. Why don't you send your army to fight with Rama and Lakshmana? For it is they who seek revenge." By the influence of his pious brother, Ravana finally relented, saying, "Monkeys always prize their tails very highly. Therefore, set fire to his tail and parade Hanuman through the streets of Lanka. Then people can see what kind of a hero he is." Afterwards, he can be released to return to his relatives with a burnt tail and suffer great humiliation. Being so commanded, the Rakshasas then wrapped cotton rags around Hanuman's tail and soaked the cloth in oil. As the rags were set ablaze, Hanuman expanded himself in a fit of rage and began beating the Rakshasas by lashing his tail about. The Rakshasas, however, took hold of Hanuman and tied him more tightly. Indeed, Hanuman allowed this, for he wanted to take a tour of Lanka to better inspect its fortifications. The Rakshasas rudely dragged Hanuman through the city streets, announcing to the people that they had captured a spy. As all the women, children, and elders curiously came out to see the prisoner, the Rakshasi guards informed Sita of Hanuman's plight. Hearing this, Sita became greatly distressed and meditated upon Agni, praying, "If I have earned any pious credit by my devotion and austerities, then let them be utilized so that the fire feels cool to Hanuman." Just then, the sacrificial fire maintained by Sita began to burn mildly. Thereafter, the fire on Hanuman's tail burned coolly as Vayu blew ice winds. Hanuman wondered, "Why am I not being burnt, although the flames are blazing brightly? Indeed, it feels as if the Rakshasas have wrapped ice around my tail. Surely, this is due to the mercy of either Rama or Sita." Then Hanuman considered, "It is not befitting a great warrior and servant of Lord Rama to be bound up and made a laughingstock by these Rakshasas. I have had enough of this humiliation." In a twinkling of an eye, Hanuman slipped from his bonds by suddenly shrinking in size. Then, jumping into the air with a shout, Hanuman instantly assumed his gigantic form and picked up an iron bar lying at the city gates. In a moment, Hanuman killed the guards and then considered, "What else can I do to torment Ravana and the Rakshasas before returning to Rama? Since my tail is ablaze, why not use it to engulf Lanka in a great conflagration?" He made his mind up. Hanuman jumped onto the roof of the Prime Minister's palace, setting it afire. Then, jumping from rooftop to rooftop, he ignited a great fire that spread all over Lanka, avoiding only the palace of the pious Vibhishana. Hanuman also went within many palaces, including Ravana's. Because of the raging wind, the fire soon blazed out of control, causing the upper stories of the palaces to crumble and crash to the ground. The intense heat melted the gold and silver, which then mixed with pearls and other jewels and flowed out into the streets like lava. A great uproar was then heard among the Rakshasas as they tried to save themselves and their possessions. Anguished cries and loud wails reached a pitiful climax as multitudes of Rakshasas, horses, and elephants were burnt. Igniting the fat from the burning bodies, the fire began blazing higher and higher, so much so that it appeared that the time of universal destruction had come. In a state of panic, the inhabitants of Lanka exclaimed, "Is this Agni himself ravaging our city in the form of a monkey? Or is it Indra, Brahma, time personified, or the unlimited energy of Lord Vishnu coming here to destroy us all?" After going around the entire city, Hanuman paused to gaze upon the fire, feeling great satisfaction. Then Hanuman went to the ocean and extinguished the fire on his tail, and contemplated his return to Rama. As he again turned to witness the fire consuming Lanka, Hanuman suddenly became filled with the terrible apprehension as he heard the screams of the dying Rakshasas. "What a fool I have been to set fire to Lanka," Hanuman thought. "What if Sita has also been burned? Just see the result of uncontrolled anger. It is the most sinful trait of the living entity, for it causes him to act indiscriminately. Indeed, what is there that an enraged man will not do or say? A person under the sway of anger can murder his own guru or parents and insult the great souls. Only one who has learned to control his anger deserves to be called a human being. If I have caused the death of Sita, then I have killed my master as well and shall have to give up my life as atonement. To hell with the foolish nature of monkeys, which produces actions born of passion and anger. Passionate acts always give uncertain results. In this case, I may have brought about mass destruction. If Sita has died, Rama and Lakshmana will no longer be able to live. Then, one after the other, Bharata, Shatrughna, Sugriva, and many others will give up their lives. Without the shelter of these exalted persons, all other living entities will gradually become disinterested in life. Thus, it may be that I have unwittingly become the cause for the destruction of the entire world. As Hanuman lamented in this way, he suddenly observed several auspicious omens and concluded that the virtuous Sita could not have been harmed. Indeed, by the mercy of Rama, even I was not burned by the fire. What to speak of his beloved consort? The purity of her character alone is sufficient to protect her. The strength of her austerities, her devotion to truth, and her dedication to Lord Rama are more powerful than fire itself. All along, the Siddhas, Charanas, and other celestial beings had been praising Hanuman for his heroic exploits. Now, to reassure Hanuman, they informed him that Sita was safe. Overjoyed and relieved, Hanuman rushed to where Sita was staying. Upon seeing her, he shed tears of happiness. Sita again pleaded, "Dear Hanuman, please remain here for just one day. I gained great relief from my burning grief by your association. Indeed, your return is uncertain, as is my survival, because of my intense unhappiness. I don't see how Rama, Lakshman, and the monkeys will ever be able to cross the ocean. Regardless, you must urge them to come quickly and rescue me, for I do not feel I can remain alive under these conditions." Hanuman tried to comfort Sita, and he assured her of Rama's ability to rescue her. Having made up his mind to depart, Hanuman ascended the Arshita mountain. In his eagerness to see Rama, after completing his mission, Hanuman began crushing the peaks of the mountain with his feet. Then, as Hanuman expanded in his size, the mountain began to crumble. The Gandharvas and animals residing there began fleeing in fear. Indeed, as Hanuman took his mighty leap, the 30 yojana high mountain sank down until it was level with the earth. Sailing through the sky, Hanuman again touched Mainaka Mountain in a gesture of respect. Finally, as he approached Mahendra Mountain, Hanuman began roaring jubilantly, waving his tail, anxious to meet his monkey friends. When they heard Hanuman's roar, the monkeys, waiting on the shore, became eager to catch a glimpse of their hero. Jambavan told the others, "Judging from his exuberance, Hanuman has been successful in his mission. The monkeys began excitedly springing from tree to tree, mountain peak to mountain peak, waving their cloths. As Hanuman finally came into view, they stood up with folded hands to watch him descend upon the Mahendra Mountain. The monkeys gathered around Hanuman, shouting with delight, and presented him with fruits and roots. Hanuman first offered his respect to the elders, including Jambavan, and then to Prince Angada. He answered their eager inquiries and informed them that he had found Sita. Hearing that Sita was alive, the monkeys became overjoyed and embraced Hanuman again and again. Thereafter, Angada praised Hanuman for his great heroism and devotion to Lord Rama, and sat down with Hanuman to talk. Jambavan then approached and requested Hanuman to narrate the entire story of his jump to Lanka and subsequent discovery of Sita. As the monkeys eagerly crowded around, Hanuman mentally offered his respects to Sita and related the detail of his journey to Lanka, how he found Sita, and his desecration of the city. He concluded by saying, "Because of her constantly being tormented by fierce Rakshasis, the gentle Sita suffers unbearable anguish. Although Ravana offers her everything in his possession, Sita scorns him, for she knows no one but Rama as her lord. Although constant absorption in Rama keeps her alive, Sita will certainly wither away and die if she is not rescued soon. So let us attack Lanka at once and bring Sita back to Rama at Kishkindhya. I know that I am able to defeat all the Rakshasas single-handed, as is Angada. Think of how pleased Rama would be if we not only found Sita but rescued her too. Indeed, I could easily have brought Sita back here with me, but because I did not have your permission, I restrained myself." Angada then said, "Once, out of respect for the Ashwini Kumaras, Lord Brahma blessed their sons, Mainda and Dvivida, that they would be incapable of being slain in battle. Because of this, these proud monkeys were able to defeat the entire army of the demigods and forcibly drank their nectar. I think they could easily conquer Ravana. Indeed, since they are here with us, I agree that we should attack Lanka and return to Rama only after rescuing Sita." Jambavan said, "O Prince, your plan lacks wisdom. You have forgot that we were only ordered to find Sita and not to fight for her recovery. Even if we were successful, I think that Rama would be displeased, for he vowed before all the monkeys that he would kill Ravana and win back Sita." Angada, Hanuman, and the other monkeys accepted Jambavan's advice. Without further delay, they departed for Kishkindhya. Along the way, the monkeys came to Madhuvana, a heavenly forest owned by Sugriva. Being eager to drink honey, they requested Angada to stop for a while. In the forest, the monkeys began to partake of roots, fruits, and honey to their full satisfaction. Within a short time, they all became intoxicated. While laughing, dancing, and singing, they sported in a most boisterous manner, turning the nice garden into a shambles. At this, the superintendent of the grove, named Dadhimukha, became very angry. When he came and told the monkeys to stop, they insulted him with harsh words. Then, trying to save the garden, Dadhimukha began chasing some of the monkeys, pacifying others, and even striking some with his hands. Unfortunately, this infuriated the intoxicated monkeys. They jumped on Dadhimukha and began kicking, biting, and scratching him. Indeed, Hanuman encouraged the monkeys, saying, "Enjoy yourselves as you please. I will check anyone who tries to stop you." Angada echoed this sentiment, and thus the monkeys fearlessly thrashed the guards and stripped the garden of all its edibles. Eventually, Dandamukhi was set free, and the monkeys continued their drunken activities. So now, let's sing the prasadam prayers, and then we'll line up in rows, and as you take prasadam, I'll... The story of Lord Rama. Thank you. No, I'm fine. So, where we left off, the monkeys were destroying the garden of Dandimukha in their intoxicated state in the Madhuvana forest. Eventually, Dadhimukha was set free and the monkeys continued their drunken activities. Some of the monkeys lay down lazily while others became insulting and boisterous. All the guards then approached Dadhimukha, submitting their complaints about the monkeys' behavior. The superintendent assured them he would put a stop to their rampage. Dadhimukha uprooted a huge tree. And the guards followed him by picking up huge boulders. As the guards approached, Hanuman and the other monkeys prepared to encounter them. Under the influence of intoxication, Angada grabbed Dadhimukha, who happened to be his granduncle, and after throwing him to the ground, began beating him mercilessly. Finally, when Dadhimukha was let go, he took the guards with him to meet Sugriva, thinking the king would surely kill the monkeys for their misconduct. When Dadhimukha thus arrived at Kishkindhya and touched Sugriva's feet with his head, the king could see that he was highly agitated. Dadhimukha then described the misbehavior of Angada and his followers. At this time, Rama and Lakshmana came by to see what was the matter, and Sugriva explained, "Angada and his party are now at Madhuvana. From the description of their raucous behavior, it appears that they have been successful in their mission. I am sure that Hanuman has found Sita, otherwise the monkeys would never dare act with such abandon." Hearing this, Rama and Lakshmana became enlivened. Likewise, Sugriva was overjoyed and told Dadhimukha, "Indirectly, your complaint conveys good news to me. Therefore, the mischief by the monkeys should be tolerated. Please return now to Madhuvan and tell Angada and the others that I want to see them immediately." Taking this order upon his head, Dadhimukha sprang into the air. When he arrived at Madhuvana, he saw that the monkeys had become sober and were passing the honey from their bodies as urine. Dadhimukha then approached Angada with sweet words, saying, "Please forgive me for trying to forbid you and your followers from enjoying the gardens. O Prince, your uncle was exceedingly pleased to learn of your arrival, and he wants you to return to Kishkindhya at once." Turning to his followers, Angada said, "I suggest we return to Kishkindhya without delay. Still, even though I am the prince, I do not consider myself superior to any of you. On the contrary, I feel completely dependent on all of you. I shall do whatever you recommend. I await your order." Fully satisfied by his statement, the monkeys replied, "O Prince, your humility is just befitting an exalted personality. It indicates your eligibility to receive further good fortune. Let us not waste another moment, for Sugriva and Rama await our arrival." Thereafter, all the monkeys leaped toward Kishkindhya, like so many stones shot from a catapult. Seeing the monkeys approach in the distance, Sugriva went to the grief-stricken Rama, saying, "Angada has come. I knew he would not dare return to Kishkindhya without achieving success, and unless he has located Sita, he would never devastate the Madhuvana garden given to my father, Riksharaj, by my grandfather, to my father, Riksharaj. by my grandfather, Lord Brahma, if he had failed in his mission. Before long, Angada's party arrived back in the presence of Rama. Hanuman excitedly declared, Sita is safe. She has remained fixed in her vows of chastity, never once accepting Ravana's advances. Rama looked upon Hanuman with eyes laden with love and respect. All the monkeys offered their obeisances to Sugriva, Rama, and Lakshmana. Unable to contain themselves, they each repeated everything Hanuman had told them about Sita. When the monkeys finally fell silent, Rama said, Describe to me the exact location of Ravana's abode and tell me more of Sita. How does she really feel about me now? All the monkeys then pushed Hanuman forward so he could give the authoritative answer. Bowing to the south, Hanuman related the events leading to his discovery of Sita. Then he delivered to Rama the jewel from Sita's head and said, The devotion of King Janaka's daughter is completely fixed upon you. In separation from you, she can hardly maintain her life. Hanuman then related Sita's messages, how Indra's son in the form of a crow had scratched her breasts and how Rama had decorated her face with red oxide, and how, due to being tortured by the Rakshasis, she would surely give up her life if he did not come to rescue her within a month. As he listened to Hanuman, Rama pressed Sita's jewel to his heart, and both he and Lakshmana shed incessant tears. Rama said, This jewel was presented to Sita by her father at the time of our marriage. Long ago, King Indra gave the jewel to Maharaj Janaka after becoming pleased with the king's sacrificial performances. O Hanuman, I have become practically unconscious from intense grief. Therefore, please repeat the messages given by Sita, for they act like cool water sprinkled upon my head. In reply, Hanuman narrated, After Sita finished telling me the story of how you chastised Indra's son Jayanta, she said, Although Rama is unlimitedly powerful and unconquerable, he does not come here to rescue me. I can only conclude that this misfortune is the result of some terrible sin I committed in a past life. Hanuman continued, I offered to carry Sita back to you, but she refused, for she was unwilling to touch another male. Again and again she said, You must convince Rama to come here quickly to rescue me. My grief is practically unbearable, and I do not know how much longer I can go on living. O Hanuman, how will Rama, Lakshmana, and all the monkeys ever be able to cross the ocean to Lanka? I know you are able to kill Ravana and deliver me to Rama. However, it is my desire that Rama himself come here to rescue me, so his spotless reputation will be further enhanced. I do not wish to be returned to Rama the way I was brought to Lanka, carried by another. Hanuman concluded, I assured Sita that the other monkeys were superior to me and could easily jump over the ocean to Lanka. I also told her that if necessary, I could carry you and Lakshmana on my back. In this way, I pacified Sita a little. However, considering the precarious condition, I urge you to quickly devise some means whereby we can all attack Lanka without further delay. So that's the end of the Sundara Kanda, and now we'll begin the Yudha Kanda. Rama was extremely pleased with Hanuman's extraordinary accomplishment. He praised Hanuman, saying, Except for Garuda, no one else could do what you did. Of all the servants, the best is he who accomplishes more than the duty entrusted by his master. A mediocre servant is he who never attempts to do more than what his master orders, even though he may be capable of doing more. Finally, the worst servant, among the lowest of men, is he who does not carry out the order of the master, even though qualified. Dear Hanuman, you have not only found Sita, but also comforted her with your words. You surveyed the entire city of Lanka, tested the strength of the great Rakshasa warriors, and struck fear into the heart of Ravana. Indeed, your service has saved my very life. Thus, it greatly pains me that I cannot reward you properly. Since I am living in exile without proper means, all I can offer in exchange for your service is my embrace. Saying this, Rama affectionately pressed Hanuman to his heart. And there's a picture of the embrace. It's a small picture of Hanuman embracing Lord Rama with great happiness. Then Rama turned to Sugriva and said, We now know where Sita is, but how can the monkeys ever be able to cross the ocean? It suddenly appears to me that all our hopes and hard labor have been rendered useless. Falling silent, Rama became engrossed in thought. Sugriva replied, "O my lord, you should cast off your grief, just as an ungrateful person can easily give up kindness. For one who causes enthusiasm, all activities become the cause of misery. For one whose mind is bewildered by grief, all endeavors end in failure. I take great delight in the prospect of fighting with the Rakshasas. I am convinced that the monkeys are equal to the task. Perhaps we could somehow build a bridge across the ocean. If the monkeys could only get to Lanka, I am sure they will emerge victorious." Looking to Hanuman, Rama said, "Utilizing my mystic power, I can easily cross the ocean, or dry it up if I so desire. Therefore, please describe to me in detail the fortifications of Lanka and any other relevant information gathered in your foray." Hanuman eagerly replied, "Lanka has four types of defenses. Their first defense is natural. The city is situated atop a high mountain, encircled by a river, and surrounded by dense forests. Then there are fortifications. High golden walls surround Lanka with four massive gates facing the four directions, each equipped with gigantic catapults. Surrounding the walls are wide moats filled with fierce alligators. Four drawbridges, which lead to the four gates, span these moats. When I set fire to Lanka, I broke all the drawbridges and tore down many sections of the wall. My dear Lord Rama, may I suggest that only the greatest warriors, such as Angada, Dvivida, Mainda, Jambavan, Panasanila, and myself, jump over to Lanka. We can defeat Ravana without any need to worry about transporting an entire army of monkeys across the ocean." Rama replied, "It is my vow that I shall personally go to destroy Lanka." Turning to Sugriva, Rama said, "The sun is now at the meridian, and the auspicious time called Abhijit has arrived. This is the opportune time to begin a military campaign. Likewise, there is trembling in my right eyelid, indicating victory. Therefore, quickly assemble the monkeys so that we can begin our march to Lanka immediately." Lakshmana and Sugriva applauded Rama's initiative, and within moments, hordes of monkeys emerged from the caves and wooded mountain slopes. Rama then ordered Nila, "I want you to march in front of the army. Take some of the monkeys with you and have them spread out in all directions just in case enemy warriors are waiting to ambush us. Leave all weak monkeys behind, for the conquest we faced is formidable." Rama then arranged the army so he was riding upon Hanuman's back in the center of the formation, with Lakshmana riding upon Angada. Thus, as Sugriva passed Rama's orders through the ranks, the army set out to the south. The powerful monkeys marched on with great bravado, roaring like lions and leaping up and down. Sometimes they somersaulted or rode piggyback or threw each other into the air in sport. Appearing cheerful yet playfully aggressive, the energetic monkeys lashed their tails about, uprooting creepers and dislodging stones as they clambered up and down the hills. Traveling along, Lakshmana said to Rama, "Look at the auspicious symptoms around us. There is a cool and fragrant breeze flowing behind us, and the forest animals are making noises that indicate their satisfaction. Indeed, the land itself appears to be in a peaceful condition, while overhead the sun is shining especially bright." The army traveled on day and night, eager to fight for Sita's recovery. While traveling, the monkeys bathed and sported in the mountain lakes, ate fruits and roots, and drank honey from the forests. Finally, Rama arrived at Mount Mahendra and climbed to its peak. From there, he could see the vast ocean stretching to the horizon. When Rama rejoined the monkeys on the bottom, the army continued on. Before long, they arrived at the seashore. Rama told Sugriva, "We are now confronted with the problem of crossing over the ocean. How can we possibly cross? Let the monkeys set up their camp while we devise some means for reaching Lanka." As they busied themselves pitching camp, the monkey hordes appeared like a great brown sea, agitated with tossing brown waves. The monkey leader gazed with wonder at the vast ocean, which is the refuge of demons, going all the way down to the lowest planetary system. With wide open eyes, the army stared at the fathomless sea, infested with aquatic monsters like the 100 yojana long timi fish and the timingalas, who can swallow the timis in a single gulp. The monkey heroes beheld the impassable expanse of wave heaving, wind-whipped water, with Lanka on the other side. While sitting at leisure, Rama said to Lakshmana, It is said that grief disappears with the passage of time. However, my anguish in separation from Sita only increases with the passing of each day. O Lakshmana, my most painful thought is of how Sita's allotted time is steadily slipping away. My heart burns with longing for the time when I shall kill Ravana and rescue her. Only then will I be able to cast off my grief for good, just as a person throws away his old, worn-out garment. As Ramana vented his anguish before Lakshmana, the sun gradually set. After witnessing Hanuman's devastating prowess, Ravana called a meeting with all the leading Rakshasas. The Rakshasa king said, "Impenetrable Lanka has been ravaged. My palaces are in ruins, and many of the best Rakshasa warriors are dead." According to the authoritative opinion, the root cause of victory is good counsel. That is why I've called you all here. That's why we're having a Sankirtan meeting today. Because the root cause of victory is good counsel. There are three classes of men in this world. Before acting, the wise person takes counsel of superiors and friends who have a common interest. Then, according to their advice, he exerts himself to his fullest capacity while ultimately depending upon providence. The mediocre person thinks over a matter himself, considering things in light of his own understanding, and then acts accordingly. The vilest of men are those who entirely give up faith in God and perform their actions whimsically without a sense of duty. Being unable to properly judge what is beneficial and what is harmful, such persons go ahead blindly, saying, "I shall do it no matter what." Similarly, there are three types of advice. Good advice is given after an objective study of the problem and in alignment with religious principles. Mediocre advice is given after a heated discussion of the problem, usually on the internet. No, it doesn't say that. And places more emphasis upon self-interest than religious principles. Bad advice is that which is given out of false pride or flattery, and which does not properly take into consideration the ultimate consequences. I am convinced that very soon Rama will come to attack Lanka with an army of monkeys. His prowess was demonstrated at Janasthana. Thus, I have no doubt that he will be able to cross the ocean without difficulty. My dear Rakshasas, all of you are very intelligent. I want your advice about what we must do for our welfare. Ignorant of Rama's strength and eager to please their master, the Rakshasas replied, so it sounds like they're not giving him the first kind of advice. "O king, why should you be afraid? You are powerful enough to defeat all your enemies single-handed. Just remember how you defeated Kuvera, taking Lanka away from him. Remember how Maya Danava fearfully handed over his daughter Mandodari to you. Why should you even bother to worry? You can rest peacefully while your son Indrajit annihilates Rama and all the monkeys before they even cross the ocean. Previously, after defeating all the demigods, Indrajit arrested Indra, the king of heaven, keeping him captive at Lanka. Only at Lord Brahma's request was Indra allowed to go free and resume his heavenly post. Ravana's commander-in-chief, Prahasta, then said, 'We have conquered the demigods, Danavas, Gandharvas, and Pishachas. Why should we be afraid of these mere mortal humans?' Hanuman was only able to exert his prowess because we were unwary, considering him to be a mere monkey. Another Rakshasa named Durmukha stood up and declared, 'I will not allow this insult to go unavenged. Wherever they may be, in heaven, on earth, or within the sea, I shall rid the world of every single monkey.' Brandishing a club stained with flesh and blood, the Rakshasa Vajradhanushtra shouted, 'Who cares for fighting with a bunch of monkeys? It is Rama and Lakshmana whom I shall crush to death. O king, just give me the order.' Another Rakshasa named Vajrahanu, as large as a hill, boasted, 'O king, remain here and conduct your business as usual. Drink wine and make merry while I attend to Rama, Lakshmana, and their army of monkeys.' Indeed, many of the Rakshasa heroes boasted of their prowess, assuring Ravana that they could conquer the enemy single-handed. Brandishing their weapons, the agitated Rakshasas were poised for combat when Vibhishana politely restrained them. When they were seated, the pious Vibhishana said, 'My dear elder brother, the wise have advised that violence should be resorted to only after the other three tactics of conciliation, gifts, and dissension have failed. Even then, violence only succeeds against those who are evil, unwary, under siege by another enemy, or doomed by fate. Rama is supremely powerful and virtuous and eager for revenge. How can you hope to defeat him? Sita's abduction is the root cause of our present crisis. You should return her to Rama before his arrows destroy Lanka and all its inhabitants. After hearing Vibhishana's advice, Ravana dismissed the assembly and retired to his quarters. The next morning, Vibhishana came before Ravana as the Rakshasa king sat on his throne, listening to the Brahmanas offer prayers for his welfare. Seating himself nearby, Vibhishana said, "My dear elder brother, ever since you brought Sita to Lanka, many inauspicious omens have manifested. The sacrificial fire now gives off sparks and smoke, and snakes are frequently found inside the kitchen and sacrificial arenas. The offerings made in sacrifice are sometimes full of ants, and swarms of crows perch atop the palaces. Vultures continuously hover over the city, and she-jackals can be heard crying out ominously every morning and evening. This is all because of your sinful act of kidnapping Sita. O Ravana, the only atonement for you is to return her to Rama at once. I speak to you honestly, whereas your other ministers simply flatter you because they are afraid of incurring your displeasure. Because Ravana was overwhelmed by his desire to enjoy Sita, he became angry upon hearing his brother's sagacious advice. Nearly shouting, Ravana declared, "I do not fear Rama or anyone else. I shall never agree to return Sita under any circumstance. My dear younger brother, you may take your leave and go about your business." In the months since kidnapping Sita, Ravana had grown emaciated due to his unfulfilled passion for Sita. Even his relatives had begun to disrespect him because of his abominable acts. Knowing war to be imminent, the king of the Rakshasas wanted to consult further with his ministers. Thus, next day, he ordered them to convene again. Thereafter, when Ravana arrived at the assembly hall riding upon his chariot, everyone offered their respects by bowing their heads to the ground, as thousands of trumpets heralded his arrival. Ravana said to his commander, "Prahasta, you must immediately ensure that our army is ready to defend the city, both from within and without." As Prahasta left to oversee the army's preparations, Ravana addressed the assembly. "My dear Rakshasas, I am pleased to announce that after sleeping for 6 months, Kumbhakarna has awakened and is gracing us with his presence today. Please listen attentively, for I want you all to fully understand my position. As you know, I have become obsessed with the lovely-limbed Sita. Indeed, I have become the slave of my passion for her." Then, hoping to put himself in a better light, Ravana began weaving a deceitful tale, saying, "Sita has agreed to become my consort, but only after the expiration of 1 year. That is the exact time I have allotted for Rama to come to her rescue. For this reason, I have remained patient, but it now appears that Rama, Lakshmana, and a vast army of monkeys are preparing to attack Lanka. In truth, I did not feel that two more mere human beings and a band of monkeys can pose much of a threat. However, since one monkey, Hanuman, was able to inflict so much damage upon us, I must admit that victory is uncertain. That is why I have called for all of you. I want you to advise me now how I can kill Rama and thus keep the beautiful Sita for myself." Kumbhakarna then stood up and sharply replied, "Oh, foolish king, you should have consulted us when you planned to kidnap Sita instead of acting impulsively. That would have saved you from repenting later on. Regardless, you may give up your great anxiety, for I shall counteract your blunder by killing Rama and Lakshmana and devouring all the monkeys." Mahaparshva then spoke up, "O king, why should one not taste honey procured with great endeavor within the snake-infested forest? You can forcibly enjoy Sita to your heart's content. Who could stop you? No one is as powerful as you are. You are free to do as you like without fear." Ravana replied, "There is something in my past that I have always kept a secret. Since you have inquired, I will now disclose to you an incident that happened long ago. Once, I happened to see an apsara of incomparable beauty named Punjikasthali, who was on her way to offer her respects to the universal grandsire, Lord Brahma. The sight of the apsara inflamed me with desire, and I forcibly seized and raped her. After gratifying myself, I released her, and she fled naked to the shelter of Lord Brahma. The grandsire became enraged when he learned what I had done and cursed me, saying, O wicked king of the Rakshasas, your head will split into 100 pieces if you ever try to rape another woman again. My dear Mahaparshva, it is in fear of this curse that I do not drag Sita to my bed by force. However, I am not afraid of Rama, for I know I am the most powerful created being in the universe. Rama is obviously ignorant of my prowess. Therefore, since he desires to attack me, I shall make short work of him. Vibhishana said, My dear Ravana, can't you see that Sita is just like a poisonous snake that you have willingly placed around your neck? Use your good intelligence and return Sita to Rama before she becomes the cause of Lanka's destruction and the annihilation of all the Rakshasas. I can assure you that there is no Rakshasa warrior who will be able to stand before Rama on the battlefield and live to tell about it. Prahasta then angrily asked, Why should we be afraid of a mere human being like Rama when we have nothing to fear even from the greatest demigods and demons? As Ravana's well-wisher, Vibhishana replied, Rama possesses unlimited and inconceivable potency on a level with Lord Vishnu himself. Therefore, Prahasta, you will do your king a great service if you dissuade him from fighting with Rama. Instead, you are now performing the greatest disservice by encouraging Ravana to fight. Turning to Ravana, Vibhishana said, I am only thinking of your welfare when I say that you should return Sita to Rama. The minister who measures the relative strength of the king and his enemy and then gives advice accordingly is the true well-wisher. Unable to tolerate his uncle's words any longer, Indrajit hotly interrupted, Vibhishana, you are simply a coward and a eunuch. Your advice has no place in this assembly, for it is devoid of courage and heroism. Previously, I dragged Indra and his carrier Airavata to the ground, causing all the demigods to flee in fear. It will be easy for me to kill two ordinary humans like Rama and Lakshmana. Vibhishana harshly replied, You are but a mere boy. Because your intelligence is not yet developed, you cannot decide what is to be done and what is to be avoided. You are actually Ravana's enemy and not his son, because you are dull-headed, indiscriminate, uncultured, and wicked. Sita should be given back to Rama, along with generous gifts, so that the Rakshasas may continue to live peacefully. Ravana also got tired of hearing Vibhishana's contrary advice. To chastise his youngest half-brother, he said, It is better to live with an enemy or a poisonous snake than one who claims to be a friend but is actually a traitor, especially if that person is one's own brother. It appears that one's own relatives rejoice the most at their family member's misfortune. Once, when some elephants saw hunters approaching with snares in their hands, they recited the following two verses. Fire and weapons we do not fear. The dangerous are the so-called near and dear. They are the ones who take special pains to make sure that we are all put in chains. From cows we derive milk. In brahmanas we find austerity. In women we see fickleness. And from relatives we are put into danger. Vibhishana, you are envious of me. That is why you cannot tolerate the honor I receive. If when anyone else has spoken as you did, I would have killed him at once. You, O wretched half-brother, are a disgrace to our noble family. Enraged by Ravana's rebuke, Vibhishana rose up with club in hand along with four of his followers and declared, O king, although you are my superior, I can no longer tolerate your words, for you have chosen to follow the path of irreligion. Flatterers who only utter palatable words are easy to find. However, persons who actually speak for one's benefit, even though the truth may be unpalatable, are very rare. O Ravana, I have only given you advice with the hope of saving you from meeting death at the hands of Rama. You have rejected my advice, however, and are free to do so. Thus I wish you well, O brother, but I shall no longer remain here with you. Vibhishana and his followers departed, and within 1 hour reached Rama's camp. When the monkeys saw Vibhishana hovering overhead, like a peak of Mount Meru illuminated with lightning, Sugriva told Hanuman, Take care, this Rakshasa must have come here to kill us. All the monkeys began picking up rocks and uprooting trees, awaiting Sugriva's instructions. Vibhishana announced, O king of the monkeys, I am the youngest half-brother of Ravana. As former minister to Ravana, I advised him repeatedly to return Sita to Rama. After being rebuked by Ravana with harsh words, I have left my home, wife, and children to take shelter at the lotus feet of Rama. Please go and tell him of my intentions. Sugriva went to Rama and said, one of the enemy Rakshasas has arrived. Although he says he has deserted Ravana, he cannot be trusted. Indeed, one can never place any trust in a Rakshasa. He must be a spy. If we believe in him, then when we least expect it, he may do us great injury. I suggest that he be killed immediately. Rama, however, went to the other monkeys, headed by Hanuman, and asked their opinions. The monkeys replied, dear Lord Rama, you are the knower of everything. Therefore, we can understand that you are inquiring from us just to honor us. Angada then suggested, if the presence of this Rakshasa can give us an advantage, he should be accepted with great caution. However, if he poses too much of a threat, he should be turned away. Saraba advised, we should assign someone to constantly watch over him. If, after being thoroughly tested, he is found to be our ally, he should be welcomed. Jambavan warned, this Rakshasa should be regarded with great caution and suspicion. Likewise, Mainda advised he should be thoroughly interrogated before any decision is made. The ever-wise Hanuman, gifted in the art of speech, then said, we do not have time to test Vibhishana. In my opinion, he has come here in all sincerity, hoping to take shelter of Lord Ram. He has understood that Ravana is wicked and that Rama is the supreme emblem of purity and righteousness. His peaceful demeanor and considerate speech indicate the honesty of his purpose, for a deceitful person cannot remain so composed. It is not possible for anyone to fully conceal his inner intentions. The facial expression always gives some clue into one's thoughts. I think Vibhishana should be accepted as our ally without reservation. Although Rama was pleased by Hanuman's statement, Sugriva said, since Vibhishana has deserted his half-brother at a time of adversity, it should be understood that there is no one he would not betray. Rama then replied, I believe that Vibhishana has genuinely rejected Ravana. Such dissension often occurs in royal families. Let us welcome him as our ally. Still unconvinced, Sugriva meekly protested, he may have been sent by Ravana. Therefore, to be safe, we should immediately capture and kill him. If we accept him, he may turn on us at any moment. Rama smiled and said, do you truly think this Rakshasa could hurt me? With the mere tip of my finger, I could kill all the Rakshasas and demons. Please listen as I tell you the following story. Once there was a hunter who caught a pigeon in his snare. Afterward, he took rest under a nearby tree. The wife of the captured pigeon was residing in that tree, and upon seeing that the hunter had come to her house, she offered him ample hospitality. Indeed, since she had nothing else to feed the hunter, the bird offered him her own flesh to fulfill her obligation to receive a guest. Ramana continued, O Sugriva, since a mere bird acted in this way, what can be said of a man like myself? There are many places in the scriptures where it is stated that when an enemy arrives with folded hands, he must be protected by all means. The great sage Kandu has commented that it is only out of fear or folly that one would act otherwise, thus incurring sin. Moreover, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is my eternal principle that if any living being takes shelter of me, even once, saying, Rama, I am yours, then I award that person freedom from all fear. Even if Ravana were to come here to surrender unto me, I would give him all protection. Hi, so that's a very famous promise of the Lord, that if someone even just once says, from this day forward I am yours, then he'll be given all protection. So I'll stop now.